You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. Well, 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 it has begun. Welcome to the front line.
Good
folks,
morning.
One day we're going to have cameras in the studios and we do live programs. You can see what's going on.
Don't do that, David. I've been told I have a great face for radio.
Well, Ed, you do. I have to tell you, I have to agree with that. But it's not today, but we have a full studio. It's wonderful. God is going to release some incredible truth today.
Amen.
And you are blessed to be listening. So don't change the dial.
That's right.
Don't change the dial. Make sure, in fact, you might even take your radio, walk into a closet somewhere and close it so no one walks by and misses with the dial.
Become a closet Christian.
Christian. Yeah, we don't need any of those, Ed. No, let's not invite that. Ed Skiba, speaking of co-host Ed Skiba.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
It certainly.
And for the first time, we have got a studio full of sunshine.
Yes, we do.
Look at all these smiles.
I mean to tell you, the Spirit of God is thick in here today.
Amen.
Aunt Limhoko, welcome again.
It's such a pleasure to be here. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and
be
glad
in it. Yes.
Amen.
And I will apologize to those listeners right now. My well-timed seasonal allergies have reared their ugly head. And so my voice is a little strained today. And well, you may hear a sneeze or two. I'll try to move away from the mic. Mainly because Karen, the other producer, doesn't like to clean these wind socks any more than we have to. But today first of all, we have Stephanie Jacobson with us and several ladies that have joined her. She'll be introducing them by first name in the few minutes. But Stephanie is with CareNet of the Treasure Coast. She's on the board, Pregnancy Center, and she's also on the H3 helpline.
Yes.
If you happen to call that helpline, she may be one of the people you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why today we're having a theme of abortion is primarily the timing.
Yes.
And it's exquisite. God's timing is exquisite. In June of 1973, the Supreme Court ruled Roe v. Wade.
Amen.
Opened the doors for abortion all over the nation. Then in June of 2023, I believe it was,
22,
about 50 years later, the Dobbs decision came down, which overturned Roe v. Wade and sent the issue back to the states. And so that means abortion that issue was not closed off. Yeah, but it did deal a tremendous blow to the pro-choice folks and that sort of thing. And so we're coming to you, and we're going to be talking people whose lives have been blessed by the Lord, but who've been through the abortion process.
Yes.
And I want to start then with you, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And just welcome you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
This marvelous crew that you brought of wonderful, God-loving ladies who have tremendous stories. Amen. Tell us what we're going to be hearing today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to come in and WCNO to allow us to give us a platform to tell our stories, because this isn't something that you're going to hear. Especially before today, you haven't heard it in the format that you're going to hear today. These listening sessions that you're going to hear today is something that is not new, but they've been done in the legislative sessions to help with the lawmaking and the decisions to be talked about and litigated. So The reason that I have such a passion about this is because I had two abortions before I was 20 years old. And it totally wrecked my life. In as much as I thought everything was okay, I was raised in a Christian family and everything, you know, you go through it and then you just shut it off and you think you're okay. And then during the course of my life, I was misdiagnosed with bipolar, which ended up later, I understood going through healing that it was unresolved grief. And I am not bipolar. I do get excited. I do get, but I'm not bipolar, and I'm thankful that God revealed that to me. And Amen. So we know that there's a lot of women and men today that are going to be listening in, and I just want to give a little bit of a sensitive warning to this this next hour, next 50 minutes, I guess, as we've got left. There's going to be a lot of details that you're going to hear that are going to be hard to hear. But this morning, as I was waking up, I guess if I had to name today's program, it would be Who is on the Lord's Side? Let Your Voice Be Heard. And I opened my scripture this morning, and it said, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in one accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of our God." And I'm telling you, that is what we're going to do today. Amen. We're Amen. Welcoming the audience. We're welcoming them into this studio with us today. And our ladies, I am so privileged and honored to be able to sit here with them today. And honestly, you're going to hear from a lawyer in a little bit that's with Operation Outcry, and she actually told me that she doesn't think that this has been done in this platform before in this setting. So they've done it at the legislative processes and stuff, but not in a studio. So it's interesting.
I just want to make sure. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Mary, can you hear us all?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Okay,
you
good. I just, we have new equipment here, and we want to make sure it's all connected. So.
Yeah, no.
Great, okay. Well, and very back to you then, Stephanie. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, that's okay. So when I grabbed my Bible app, though, this morning, I opened it up, and I thought, Lord, there's thousands of people that are going to be reading this Bible verse today. What is it that you want us to hear, and what do you want us to send out across the airwaves? And this was the verse: "The truth shall set you free."
Hallelujah.
And every person in this room is just shouting in their hearts right now if we can't shout out loud, because we are so excited to tell the truth. I'm not here to fight against something. God is the one who fights our battles, but we're here in one accord fighting for something. I'm honored and privileged to be sitting here in this room with a small but mighty army of women, and they're ready and here to fight for something, and what that is the truth. The truth that an abortion is taking the life of a precious image bearer of God. The truth that abortion harms and devalues women, which you'll hear some of that, but I will tell you through these women's stories, you're going to hear that the truth of the gospel and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. My voice was cut off 40 years ago, but I'm telling you what, he has restored it.
Amen.
And we are here to give God that glory today. And from here on, we hope to reach the audience, those women that are thinking about abortion, that don't know what they should do. They're going to hear stories of women that have had abortions and that the wreckage that comes with abortion. It's just unimaginable, really. I've had over 600 phone calls from women who have regretted their abortions. So we came here to praise and glorify and to testify of his mercy, and we're going to do that through our stories.
Excellent. Well, Stephanie, I'm going to let you run that part of the program.
All right. Well, our first testimony is going to come from a friend of mine. Actually, they're all friends. I shouldn't say that. I'm just Her name is Connie. So if y'all would just enjoy this time together and just know that God has this. And If you feel the need, we will have resources at the end of this hour for you to be able to find your own healing if you've had an abortion.
Thank you, Stephanie. 1982 in Vermont. The colors of the leaves are varying shades of reds and yellows. There's a cool crispness in the air that invites me to take a deep breath. I feel a longing to have that day last forever. The quietness surrounds me with only the songs of birds in my ears. It's my favorite time of the year. A thought intrudes my peace. I have an appointment today for a pregnancy test. I became nervous and kept thinking how it could be possible since I was taking the pill every day like clockwork. My appointment left me in a situation I wasn't equipped or prepared to handle. I was pregnant. I relied on that pill so that this could never be a scenario for me. But here I was, 17, pregnant, living with a boy that I had just months earlier found out was sexually active with other women when he shared an STD with me. I was stunned. I shut down. The woman at Planned Parenthood informed me I was at 12 weeks, and the abortion needed to be done immediately. The appointment was made, and I never questioned anything about the pregnancy after that. The strongest thought I can remember at the time was it was legal, so it was okay. It will take care of the crisis moment, and I can move on. I was very immature at 17 and was not able to make the distinction between right and wrong. I had not been in church since around 7 and had made rebellious choices since I was 14. This was not going to be any different, for I was not going to tell my parents. They had become Christians just a few years earlier, and I was not going to give them another reason to be disappointed with me. There was no education about the consequences of abortion and how it can harm people physically, mentally, and spiritually. My abortion took place at a doctor's office. Afterward, there were two things I remember. I got in the car with my boyfriend. He was crying and said to me, "You killed my baby." Winter rooted in my heart that day and didn't leave until I started to seek God in my mid-30s. Immediately after the abortion, I clotted so heavily for 2 days, I thought I would have to go to the hospital. But then, everyone would know. So I waited. It subsided, and I found myself needing an exit plan. I had family in Florida, so I packed my stuff and left Vermont and my past in the rearview mirror. In 2016, a mission trip to Costa Rica brought me clarity about the shame and guilt from the abortion. Redeeming Freedom's post-abortion study, Forgiven and Set Free, gave me a safe place to understand the damage from abortion and how God can redeem us from that bondage. A few short years later, God called and equipped me to become the director of Redeeming Freedom. He also gave me my child's name, Micah. Micah 6:8 is a verse that helps keep me compelled to act in times of injustice, like abortion. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. I share this today to compel others to action. Use this information from today's broadcast to educate about how abortion deeply wounds people.
Thank you, Connie.
Amen.
That was beautiful. Next up, we have Lou.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. In 1972, my brother and his girlfriend were pregnant. To me, pregnant meant that you would have a baby. It wasn't long after that his girlfriend graphically explained that she had to give birth to a dead baby, an abortion. That was the first time I'd heard the term, and I was horrified. 4 years later, at the age of 19, I became pregnant. My expectations were to get married and have the baby, but the trajectory of my life was about to change due to pressure and fear. Fear that I would no longer be loved by my boyfriend. He said it was not good timing. He was starting a business. Fear of being alone. My mom said, if you have that baby, it will ruin your life. Fear of what people would think of me. Planned Parenthood said they could assist with a termination. My girlfriend had said it wasn't a baby yet, and she'd had an abortion. It was no big deal. Fear one. The fear was insurmountable. I remember being wheeled down the hospital corridor. A woman touched my shoulder and asked me if anyone was forcing me to abort. I wanted so desperately to say yes, but I shook my head no. The next thing I remember is being home on the couch in the fetal position with a blanket, sobbing. My boyfriend came home from work. He knelt down next to me and he said, if I had known this was going to affect you this way, I would never have made you do this. I remember thinking, it's too late. My baby's gone. And it wasn't long after that he was also. The next 10 years would be a blur with only snapshot memories. Looking for love in all the wrong places, accompanied by alcohol and drugs as my travel companions. Life spiraled out of control. My toxic behaviors covered me with mental anguish and emotional fallout. I sunk deeper into depression and shame. Each time I had an abortion, there were six in all. The feeling of disgust consumed me while my anger increased. Suicide became an option as I could not bear to think I had done the unthinkable. My destructive behaviors would create six more precious lives. But all seven of my babies were gone. My biggest fear was realized. I was all alone. My body and my mind were grieving. But how could I grieve? I had no right to grieve. I chose to do this. Grief was not allowed. So I buried the grief for over 46 years. But God stepped in. A woman at church spoke of her healing from the sin and shame of abortion. Mm-hmm. I almost fell out of my chair. How? She lovingly told me about redeeming freedom. Today I celebrate because of the power of the living God of the universe. I am a forgiven, redeemed, and healed woman that has been given the freedom to walk in obedience with the Lord. I know that my children are with Jesus. And because of the love and the blood of Jesus Christ, I now know that I will never be alone again. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lou.
Praise God. Praise
mm-hmm. God. Praise God. Our next testimony comes from Margie. Margie, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Stephanie asked me to do a short testimony. And as short as I can put 51 years on two pieces of paper, this is what I have. I grew up in a two-parent home. Mom was a homemaker, and Dad was a very strict Sicilian man. It was the school nurse that told me I was pregnant, and she promptly made an appointment at a place that would help me. It was Planned Parenthood. You can't have a baby. You're only 15, echoed in my mind. But my father's words, didn't think I'd break, sorry folks.
You're okay.
But my
okay.
father's words also echoed. Just the year before, my 16-year-old cousin had gotten pregnant. And my father then declared that if I ever came home pregnant, he would put a gun to my stomach and kill me and the baby. I believed him. Shame was not allowed on the family name. On a gray day, November 3rd, 1973, I was dropped off by my uncaring boyfriend on the corner in New York. Abortion was legal in New York then, but not Connecticut. I entered the building alone. It hurt. I heard the nurse tell the doctor, "There is two." And after the suction machine went off and the doctor left the room, I asked the nurse, "Two babies?" "Yes," she replied. This was the very moment where the emotional pain and trauma started. I was 15 plus weeks pregnant. They were only supposed to do abortions up to 12 weeks. It did not matter to Planned Parenthood. They lied, they broke the law, they didn't care, and they still do to this day. I left with terrible shame, and over many, many years, I suffered many post-abortion syndrome symptoms, otherwise known as PTSD. I married an alcoholic, only to divorce. During my marriage, a neighbor told me that God forgives everything through the sacrifice of Jesus. I wanted and needed that. The religion I knew told me that I had committed an unforgivable sin and was doomed to hell. But the words of God's forgiveness fell on sand when quickly after the divorce, I lived out my brokenness in promiscuity, drugs, and working for organized crime, and then ultimately working in an abortion clinic myself. I was trying to help myself and convince myself that what I did was okay. It was trauma upon trauma as I experienced a horrific event there. One day I heard a desperate call from a nurse. I immediately responded. She ran by me exclaiming, "I cannot do this, it's too big." I went in to find the doctor on his stool, drenched in amniotic fluid and fluid still coming onto the floor. The doctor then pulled out a baby's arm. I supported him by holding his back so he would not fall off the stool as he removed the baby piece by piece. What happened next is far too graphic for me to share on this program, but I will be willing to share it on other platforms. I can't imagine that just moments before the silent scream this baby must have let out as the pain racked her body. I measured her foot 24 weeks. He could have stopped, but instead he completed the task without even letting the mother know that he had miscalculated and was killing her 6-month-old baby girl. I realized it was time to get out of the clinic. I finally attended nursing school, which had been my childhood dream, forgetting the past and moving forward, so I thought. What a blessing to have met a friend that invited me to church. It was there that God grabbed hold of me and began a healing process like none other, using individuals and circumstances, including taking a post-abortion Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free. But there was one other healing that I needed. In 2021, I met Abby Johnson and joined And Then There Were None, a healing group for former abortion clinic workers. I now serve as a nurse trained in limited obstetric ultrasonography. I also serve as a board member at the CareNet Pregnancy Center, and I'm keeping my vow to God to be a vessel to save as many lives as I have killed.
Amen.
Mm. Thank you, Margie.
Wow.
Thank you for that moving testimony.
Amen.
The next testimony is coming from our precious friend, Liz.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had 12 children. I am number 9 and the baby girl. My father pastored a church, and I always felt safe. But to me, marriage and love seemed like a life prison sentence and a dreadful spiritual obligation. Education about sex trickled down to my siblings with the message, keep your skirts down and your legs closed until marriage. I stopped attending church around 15. By the number 9 child, I'm sure my parents were just tired of the pushback. I had no respect for church people, and with all the hypocrisy in church, I'd rather go outside of the church and be okay with going to hell. I always believed in Jesus, but never desired a relationship with him. My boyfriend and I had a beautiful baby girl, but with the turmoil in our relationship, marriage was not on the table. We continued dating and were very quickly pregnant again. Although I didn't agree with abortion, I didn't want to bring another child into the same dysfunctional family dynamic I was familiar with as a child. And besides that, the thought of telling my parents about another child weighed more than my moral standards. My boyfriend encouraged my decision to abort. We needed to do it quickly before it became an actual baby. My only memory of the abortion was waking up feeling alone, uncared for, and ashamed. There were several girls waking up alongside me in beds as if we were sheep having been led to the slaughter. The unspoken, forbidden conversation about abortion was never brought up again. It remained a toxic secret. 4 years later, I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. The same year, my boyfriend and I got married. I loved my husband, but my marriage did nothing to heal the hurt. In fact, things got worse between us and our marriage collapsed. But God. Early January 2024, on Sanctity of Life Sunday, a woman spoke about life with such passion. And I thought, I believe I should give more than just money. I need to give my time. But how? I'm a single mother with a full-time job. That didn't matter. I felt this was God. During my initial meeting with CareNet, I was asked, have you ever had an abortion? The Holy Spirit immediately brought my abortion to memory. I was flabbergasted. I had to confess the horrible event of my past. Once I got into my car, this thought came. All this time you were asking and praying for a son, but you didn't want your son. You got rid of him. I felt perplexed. When I spoke with my pastor, she was patient and kind and encouraged me to walk through the study with CareNet. I hadn't cried in years, but with the attention and love given by my facilitator, it allowed me to recognize the anxiety, insecurity, hopelessness, and intrusive thoughts that I didn't know I even carried. While processing that, what I learned there, the chains began to fall off. I was able to gain and understand an understanding of when life actually began and repent of my prior view of abortion. My prayer going in was to make me more like you and give me a heart of flesh. And he did just that. Jesus healed me. God's timing is always perfect. I am redeemed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Our last testimony at this moment is going to be from our friend Shelby.
Thank you, Stephanie.
You bet.
Okay. In a culture obsessed with criminals, have you ever considered standing face to face with a murderer? Imagine you're awoken from a peaceful sleep, blinded by bright lights, confined and blistering cold. There's a deep, ominous awareness of an intruder in your home. An intense hum echoes towards you. You're stripped away from your safe haven, torn limb from limb, leaving all evidence of your existence obliterated. Many would assume that this is an excerpt from a sci-fi or a cold case on Netflix, but on the contrary, this was the imagery in my mind as I found myself reading the human embryology in an abortion recovery class. I stumbled through week 7 of fetal development, devastated to learn that muscles were formed, swimming, kicking, and thumb sucking were all skills my baby had developed. How did we get here? My world was imploding as I was faced to confront the lie the abortion clinic sold me. Unmarried and afraid, I fell victim to the culture. I was silenced by the shame and guilt of what my family would think of me, how my job would respond to me, and the burden of single parenthood. I needed guidance, but instead, I found the facade that abortion was my only logical choice. A safe choice, even a good choice, the clinic encouraged me. The choice was everything but the truth. I was terminating the life of a whole, separate, unique, living human, my human, the one God put in my charge to protect. They helped me find exactly what I was looking for, a way out. A scapegoat for the consequences of an unexpected pregnancy. Abortionists capitalize on the silence of their patients. No one-star Google review explaining that they were fooled. Although motherhood seemed scary, God designed me for it. I was not told I would suffer a grave emptiness from the deepest parts of my being until I laid it at the feet of Jesus. Abortion is a silent epidemic. Society implies that we can't be both the perpetrator and the victim. Mm. and this is why I'm breaking my silence. Clinics and culture silence the truth about abortion for profit. Different communities silence the truth for acceptance. And sadly, even our churches struggle to enter into this hot topic, fearful of offending someone with the truth. Ultimately, those of us who carry the weight of our sin have silenced the truth out of fear. Whether you've experienced abortion or helped sustain culture's vile secret, silence is no longer an option.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. I want to speak to you guys for just a second, and the audience is going to listen in. I am so thankful that you said yes today.
Yes.
You said yes to something that has never been done before in this platform, and I believe that God is going to use your testimonies, your hurt, your pain, and his redemption to bring life and liberty and freedom to many people, not just here in this Treasure Coast, but he's going to make the Treasure Coast a treasure for the nation. And let our voices go forward, and let it not come back void, just like the word of God goes forward. It will not come back void.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we take a little break?
I think a break would be good.
This is going to be a music break. The title of the song is Word of Life, appropriate tune, by Jeremy Camp.
Amen. Mm.
Strengthen my broken parts, lead me to your open arms. Word of truth, illuminate all these lies. The enemy speaks inside, and freedom I will rise. 'Cause you called me out.
Okay, we are back. Wow. Stephanie had done the logistics for this. She's so gifted, and I'm thankful because so many moving parts today. Ladies, I just want to thank you for sharing. I mean, really, really. I, I don't think any of us know the impact of your words of truth that have gone out over the air today, but I do know, I said to Stephanie before, or maybe I said it to you, the tsunami of truth.
Yes.
I love that big wave of truth that's crashing against the lies that so many people have embraced. Stephanie, you, I know you have someone on the phone, Mary, that you want to bring on and share with us.
I do. We were just talking in the break about how long it took me to put this together. I didn't put it together. God put it together.
Amen, yes.
This was truly a work of the Holy Spirit, and he has just been in every moment. It was a Holy Spirit moment when I met Mary. Mary Browning is in Missouri, so she's going to be joining us via phone. But I met her in December, and I got a random email that talked about Operation Outcry, which I'd heard about before, but I wasn't involved. And Operation Outcry is a, it mobilizes women who are hurt by abortion to become witnesses for the courts and the legislatures and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they hold the largest collection of, in the world, of legally admissible written testimonies from women hurt by abortion. And that number is growing daily with those Operation Outcry declarations, which will tell you about how to go online and do that. If you've had an abortion, you can go on operationoutcry.org and put it in, and we will. That's what helped turn Roe over, was all those declarations from those women that were brave enough, and it can be confidential. So anyway, back to Mary. I met her, and it was off and running. She is just a brilliant, lovely, just beautiful lady. She works for the Justice Foundation, which is those that have litigated Roe and to turn Roe over, and then also the Doe case, which and the Dobbs case. So they're very, very active in high-profile cases. And so Mary works with them as a legal advisor for the Operation Outcry. She owned her own family practice for 20 years, and she was a former general counselor for the Missouri Department of Social Services. She's also been prosecutor for cases with child victims, and she went to law school to advocate for abused and neglected children. If God didn't prepare her for this, I don't know who did, because but she loves to kayak and bicycle and garden, and she has some tomatoes. I'm gonna have to go to Missouri to get me some good tomatoes, I guess. But I would like to introduce Mary. She's gonna give us her 1 minute testimony, and then she's gonna give us a little bit more about Roe and why today is actually June 24th, and 2 years ago, June 24th, Roe was turned over in the Supreme Court. So Mary, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you, Stephanie. It is definitely my privilege to be part of this program, and I thank you for including me.
I wouldn't think of not including you.
My story starts with my wedding day was 6 days away. I was pregnant. I called my fiance, and his response, I needed to have an abortion. I didn't put up a fight. I didn't say no. I was afraid to go home and tell my mother. I was 18. I didn't realize how far along I was, and the doctor didn't conduct any exam before he got started. It was so traumatizing to me, my mind separated from my body. I watched from the ceiling in the room. Yes, I dissociated. I didn't feel, hear, or smell anything. When it was over, the doctor came back to scold me. He blamed me for being wrong about my baby's age. My son was 16 weeks. I was wrong, but so was he. He didn't conduct an exam beforehand. I now know 50% of women are wrong about the gestational age of their baby. 50%. My son would have felt the pain of having his life taken. The nurses would have had to gather his body parts to make sure he was all there. I told no one for many, many years. I was trapped in shame. It was a deep, dark secret I planned to take to my grave, but I discovered that covering my shame only compounded the harm. It kept me a slave to that shame and bound me to the secret. I no longer believe the lie that the secret is safer than the truth. I speak out to dispel these lies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That marriage consisted of domestic violence, alcohol abuse, infidelity, and it ended in divorce. I have had two other unsuccessful marriages. I now know having difficulty sustaining intimate relationships is one of the increased risks of having an abortion. I labored under the burden of workaholism for many years trying to prove my worth. I had low self-esteem. But today, I am thankful to say that I now sing a redemption song in honor of my son, Raphael. He has two full sibling daughters. I have two daughters that are his full siblings. So I have three children. Just Raphael is in heaven. Today is the two-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision. The U.S. Supreme Court reversed the longstanding Roe v. Wade decision that found abortion was in the U.S. Constitution. Abortion is not and was never in the U.S. Constitution. The significance of the Dobbs case is it turned the decision-making back to the states, the voters, and their elected officials. Floridians are facing that issue this November with Amendment 4. In Missouri, we also had an initiative petition, and we are currently waiting for the signature verification process to determine whether or not to put abortion in our Constitution will be on the ballot in November. As Stephanie mentioned, I'm a member of Operation Outcry and legal advisor to that group. As she said, Operation Outcry is a group of individuals who've been hurt by abortion and who have gone on record with the harm they have suffered. Some speak out publicly, much like the women you're hearing from today. Some lend their voices and their stories anonymously. Operation Outcry is part of the Justice Foundation. We filed five briefs in the Dobbs case, one on behalf of women hurt by abortion. We've also filed briefs in the FDA chemical abortion pill case, which the U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled upon. But today, it's so important for us to work together in ways like we're doing today. It is critical for us to understand what these amendments actually do and to understand the full story about abortion. It is not common to hear the stories you're hearing today, but it's important. Some people are still unaware of the harm of abortion. I am speaking out today because understanding the full impact and the aftermath of abortion is more important now than ever. Local citizens like you and me must decide how to vote. We must be informed, we must be involved, and we must be engaged. We cannot believe the lie that our vote doesn't matter.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mary. That was impactful. Thank you so much for your input. What did you, can you give us a little, you didn't get to hear these women's testimonies beforehand. Can you speak to them for just a minute?
I am so thankful for the brave voices of women that are speaking out, because we know that we represent, you all represent, I represent lots of women who are still hiding in shame. They're still believing the lie that they can't tell anyone. They're still not maybe even aware of the kind of harm they have suffered or how abortion has affected them. I did not know that workaholism and performing was a result of me trying to prove myself and prove my worth because I had committed the ultimate. For me, I was called to advocate for abused and neglected children. It was a long time before I put myself in the category of having been the abuser, of having committed the most ultimate abuse to my son. So I say thank you to the women today who are on the show, and I thank you for the people that will now have the courage to come out of the shadows of shame and deal with the harm that abortion has caused.
Amen. I want to go back to something that you said. Thank you for that, Mary. I'm sure that these ladies will much appreciate it. I'm hoping that they all get to meet you someday. I want to go back to the amendment that you talked about that we have here in Florida that's coming up. It is not going to be in the August election. It will be on the November ballot. This amendment is so dangerous because it is so deceptive. And we do have, I want to say this before I go any further, we do have literature that is being made, and I know that Treasure Coast, CareNet Treasure Coast will have access to a lot of literature that the that's coming into this area. So if you need some, I know you can call WCNO also mm-hmm. at some point in time here
yes.
and get literature. That'll be coming in real soon. But I want to address that just a minute. The title of the amendment is so deceptive. Amendment to limit government interference, which sounds so wonderful, and most people will stop looking at we want to limit government everything, right? Mm-hmm. But then they don't really read through it with abortion.
Right.
So amendment to limit government interference with abortion. So it's very deceptive even from the very title. Some of the things that are not drawn out as in the summary is healthcare provider. A healthcare provider should be a gynecologist or someone who's treating that person for that woman for a child. And they did not give us a summary on it, so they have to go back to what it says in our statutes, and there's over, I think, 50 some odd different explanation for doctors, mm-hmm. which it could include, believe this or not, a tattoo artist, which I know that sounds crazy, but it could be a massage therapist, mm-hmm. it could be someone working in the clinic can justify that this woman needs an abortion. And it's not just an abortion up to 12 weeks or 15 weeks. It is so radical. It is abortion up to birth. And my question to some of my friends who don't think about abortion the same way I do, and, you know, everybody has their own ideas, and that's okay. That's what America is. You know, we have our freedoms, right? The problem is, I'll ask them, do you believe that an abortion should be given to a baby that is ready to come down the birth canal into their mother's arms? And they look at me like I've got four eyes. And this is so deceptive that a lawyer could take this and twist it and turn it and make it anything they want it to be, because there's no summary. There's no explanation for anything that's in this amendment. You guys have any questions about it or anything that you've noticed?
Well, just for our listeners, can you just sum up what Florida Amendment 4, what actually would they be voting for in November?
Okay.
So they can just have the clear understanding.
So, Mary, do you want to talk to that? You might be better off answering that than me.
Well, if I understand Amendment 4 correctly, it does talk about the viability line. Is that right? 24 weeks?
It does talk, okay. but it's so vague that it really doesn't right. say when it is. There's
and
no...
And it says basically the life of the mother or the health of the mother
mm-hmm.
can be, and as determined by her health care provider, which is a wide open, in terms of what can be considered an exception or an acceptable time frame. If the mother says, well, I might be depressed or I didn't want to, my health will be affected because I intended to do something different, and that's a pretty wide exception there. So I think in Florida you have to weigh whether or not the rhetoric and what is actually written in the amendment is what you believe is the appropriate public policy.
Right. So, what will happen is the voter will go into the voting booth, and they will have an opportunity to vote for abortion or against abortion. There really isn't any, there's no gray area in this. There's no another day to fight, because this will be codified in our Constitution, which right. means that there's not a lawyer, there's not a representative or a senator or a governor or a Supreme Court that can turn it over, because when it is on the ballot and the people vote on it, mm-hmm. and it is not, let me back up for a second. If you don't want abortion in Florida in your constitution, you need to vote no.
Amen.
Yes.
No on four.
No on four.
No on four. And that is it is it's come down to the fact that we've put this back into people's hands. There's no discussion about it, and the fact that it's so deceptive that there's not a lot of time to talk about, you know, and there's no debate on it. It's just this is a vote up or down. And so it's important for the grassroots of people, that's us, you and me, and people in churches, and talking about it in the churches and talking about it to your neighbors. If we're not talking about it, then no one's going to know. So I just encourage everybody to tell your friends, find out what four is, Amendment 4 is, and be prepared to vote no, so there's a no that it doesn't in go November. Into our Constitution.
Yes. Amen. And as I want to speak as a pastor myself, and you know, the church needs to stand up, and some have, some haven't, but this, if you're a believer, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then, and you've studied the word to any degree, you know that God is in life, he is not in death, and that it's God's plan that how we are born through our mothers, that babies are formed in the womb. We're human from the very beginning, and as we grow, when the two sperm and the egg come together, boom, that's it. Yep. Human being is on the way. And in 1973, before Roe v. Wade even became an issue, where was the church? It wasn't. There was no argument. There's no public commentary. The church was silent. And because of that, Roe v. Wade became the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe that part of the church woke up, and, you know, that because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, I think prayer was involved in that. I believe that,
yes, very much
in the 50
so.
Years during, absolutely. In the interim, the God has awoken the church.
Yes.
But listen, as I'm speaking to you now as a pastor, mm-hmm. and saying that there's a lot of the church yet needs to wake up. You know, wake up, stand up. Not just talk among yourselves at coffee hour, but if that's what happens, let it be an energizing right. moment
across
to get you
table.
To do something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Margie had something I think she wanted to tell us from the nursing aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I've been a nurse for 36 years. 26 of those years have been in emergency room nursing. My clinic experience was 6+ years working in an abortion clinic, first and second trimester abortions. I have never seen a medically necessary abortion to save a woman's life.
Wow.
They're literally, in this day and age, especially in this day and age, with today's technologies and medical advancements, there is no such thing. I've seen trauma cases where a pregnant woman spontaneously miscarried or aborted her baby. Even in fetal demise, even in incompetent cervix, where, you know, they have trouble holding the baby in. All these things can be managed. You know, preeclampsia, hypertension, the preeclampsia. All these things can be managed. The soft side of it is they're floating a lot of this on mental illness and depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again,
how much mental illness and depression do we have after the abortion? Amen. So
exactly,
it's,
exactly. So this rhetoric about saving a mother's life is really not accurate.
Thank
in
you,
my
Margie.
Opinion.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you for
Amen.
That.
Amen. Thank you. I've got something up. There's an aspect of this that I never hear addressed. You ladies did not do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
The only virgin birth I know of was when Mary gave birth to Jesus. There are men out there
yes.
that don't even know that some of the women that they had
relations
with have had abortions.
That's right.
And these men are not standing up and taking their part of the responsibility for it.
Yeah.
I was 22 years in the Navy. I was single for quite a while when I first got in. I don't know what I may have done.
Sure.
And the Holy Spirit has convicted me to repent for the things that I did.
Yes.
So, guys, I'm not speaking from the position of a virgin, okay?
Yes.
Thank you for
we
that.
We have to stand up. God gave us responsibility for the nurturing and the well-being of the helpmates that he gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn around and violate that responsibility by leaving them in a position where they are made to look like victims when, in fact, we're the perpetrators.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah,
it's very important that we understand the men need healing just as well.
I'm not concerned so much about the healing. God will take care of that. I'm concerned about them taking responsibility for their actions.
Well, I'm telling you what. Thank you for standing up and speaking truth.
We have about 3 minutes and 45 seconds thereabouts.
Okay. All right.
And so I want to make sure that's very short time. But what needs to be said that hasn't been said, Stephanie?
I would like to give a couple of phone numbers and an email address.
Yeah.
We have h3helpline.org is 866-721-7881. And we will take phone calls 24/7. If you've had an abortion, male, female, please call us. We'll talk to you.
What does H3 stand for?
H3 is Help, Hope, and Healing.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
And then Operation Outcry, Mary spoke about that. And it is operationoutcry.org. If you would like to do a declaration, we would love for you to be part of this and come join us with this. We also locally have Redeeming Freedom, and we have a light group ministry up in Vero. Those are both part, Redeeming Freedom's part of CareNet, and then the light group ministry is a standalone abortion ministry. So we have local people here that really want to connect with you. And you can call WCNO. If you can't figure those things out and don't remember or don't have a pen, please call WCNO and get us in touch with you. I want to give you one scripture. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. This is our time. Let's stand up.
Amen. I want a quick question, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Since our coverage area includes more than, you know, St. Lucie and Martin counties
yes.
and all, there are people enlisting in Broward County or Brevard to the north or whatever
sure.
that may be saying, well, you're a little too far away for me to do anything. How would they access pregnancy centers, Christian-based pregnancy centers locally?
They need to call H3 Helpline, and we'll get them in touch with that.
Excellent.
866-721-7881.
Excellent. So whatever county you're living in,
yes.
that's how you can get the information.
Yes.
You know, I wish we had another hour.
I know.
But we don't.
Invite us back.
Well, yes. Listen, that's a given right now. I want to again thank everyone for coming. I mean, you touched my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate what you said, what you offered. And I know you touched the hearts of
Amen.
Thousands of people today.
Absolutely. Mm.
And unfortunately, I have to say, we have to say goodbye. But yes, we'll have everybody back down the road. God bless you all. Stay safe. Don't drive when it's raining. And, or maybe you have to. I don't know. But if you do or you don't, trust God
That's
in
right.
everything you do.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m. and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.